Mr. Chairman, mentions that in fact that there is suspicion, actually the word used earlier was paranoia, which is an unfounded suspicion about others and their relationship to you. So I think that there's paranoia between sports and commercial. But the thing that seems to join them together is a founded belief that the department and the commission is not able to do its work, and that therefore we've got to have this board. And I think that so we've got a double or almost a triple bind we're dealing with here. That's a very interesting situation.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Blanchard Smith.
Oh, Mr. Chairman, while Mr. Smith's coming, I see a number of members are in the audience who have drifted in and out. I don't know whether they're on your list or not, but maybe we ought to hear
from them. I issued the invitation early, and thank you. I would reissue it to any members who wish to be heard on this subject. Please don't hesitate to let that desire be known
to us. Yeah,
I'm
sure their enlightenment would be of great value to us.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't really think that I have anything substantial to add to what hasn't already been said this afternoon. Any of the members of the committee would like to question me on any of my previous testimony, I'd be happy to do that.
Let me just ask on the Bradbury Amendment, yay or nay?
Nay. but that's qualified. Let me take a minute here. I believe that what we've heard here this afternoon is the commercial fishermen and the sport fishermen coming to you and asking you for a program to which they would contribute and to which they want to participate. I've testified earlier that in conversations with several of the commissioners that they would welcome the advice and the involvement of a citizens advisory group. The only problem I have with the Bradbury amendments as structured is I have two concerns. One is the appointment process through the governor's office. I think that if we're establishing a cooperative effort scenario between the commission and the user groups, that we'd be better advised to appoint by the commission. Secondly, I can see the gridlock theory coming into play here, and frankly, I would be in favor of a majority vote of the of the advisory committee.
Thank you.
All I have, Senator Spring.
Thank you. Questions?
Question.
Senator Favish.
You've heard the, I'm sure you've heard the discussion. Are you comfortable with the present amendments with the 5-7 split? The original bill had 2-to-1 ratio of sports dollars to commercial dollars, and now it's about 3-to-1, something like that. Are you comfortable? I mean, would you support the bill overall if the 5-7 situation was left in so that with a board that was charged with allocating dollars, the vast majority of which with sports dollars, could in effect be held up by the commercial side? Would you ultimately, if that's the way it came out, would you support that measure?
No, sir, I would not.
Okay, further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Okay, that's it for my list, 41. Did I miss somebody?
Uh-huh.
Ha-ha, Representative McTeague.
Flushed one out.
Mr. Chairman, I really did want to hear what other people have to say before I get up and give my position. Obviously, I'm an advocate for recreational sport fishing. I'm also a consumer of commercially caught fish, since I don't catch all that many fish. So I can appreciate both sides of the equation. I took the Water Committee on a tour of coastal hatcheries last summer. And we saw three different hatcheries, and we saw at least one hatchery in a serious state of disrepair. My interest in this was sparked by a very, very well-done study put together by Floyd Arms of Oregon Trout showing that we need about $14 million of repair and upkeep just to bring our state hatchery system up to an adequate state of affairs. To me, that seemed very compelling because Oregon trout doesn't like hatcheries very well, and frankly, I'm not a great fan of hatcheries, public or private, myself. I think there's lots of problems with them, and we could, that's another subject. But I think clearly that report demonstrated the need to bring our state hatchery system, which is falling apart, back up into a better state of affairs. At the same time, we obviously need to do more than just try the technical fix, which is what hatcheries are, and improve our habitat production program as best we can. And I think the split in the bill on that is a very, very positive thing. So as a recreational fishing advocate, I think this package is extremely important for the resource for all Oregonians. And that's why I find it so painful to sit here and listen to amendments which would basically deprive the Fish and Wildlife Commission and a broad base of group of citizens from the ability to make sound recommendations in the policy. And frankly, if you create a rigged deck in favor of one interest group versus another, which I think is a very unfortunate thing, I think it could kill the bill, if not on the Senate side, then on the House side. And I really don't want to see that happen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. What will kill the bill?
Well, I think this supermajority concept where one user group gets to veto another user group's interest in doing all this. And in the process, second-guess the Department of Fish and Wildlife and the biologists we have there. Now, I have a funny position towards the Department of Fish and Wildlife because, on one hand, I'm developing into a severe critic of many commission policies, and not the least of which is the giveaway of state funds to aquaculture investment, which I think will put the state in a conflict position with our wild fish policy. And for example, I think we have the state in just an awful position at the present time. And I don't think the Department of Fish and Wildlife necessarily advocates as strongly for some of those interests as they ought to. But on the other hand, I think it's very important that we keep management of our fishery resource under one roof, and that we have a Fish and Wildlife Commission, that we try and build up its credibility. We really need to restore public support for this department. As a severe critic as I am of the department on some of their decisions, I'm also a very strong supporter and believe we need to support that agency because it provides such a vitally important role in protecting our natural resource habitat in the state. I just want to tell you, for one thing, I think we've severely underfunded them in some crucial areas, like the Habitat Division, for example. We've been heaping responsibilities on the Habitat Division, and we haven't been providing them with the adequate funding to do the job. To not provide them with the adequate staffing they need and the support they need to fulfill their mission will deprive Oregonians of future resources. And I think that is a public trust that we as a legislature must provide. So I think this is an important step. You know, it's not going to be all that easy for us, if you think about it, really, to go back home to the sport fishing men and women, and maybe in the case of Senator Bradbury and Senator Brenneman, the ocean troll or the gillnet fishery, and say, we raised your license fees. Because when I'm out talking to those people at the grassroots, a lot of them are thinking, well, that's just to pad the bureaucracy in downtown Portland. So it's not necessarily an easy thing for us to support an increased license fee. And that's why it's so important that we try and give the commission and the department the guidance they need, accept the best advice of their professional biologists, eliminate, from whatever point of view we come from, to the best extent possible, the political influences that sometimes I think cause bad management decisions, and those influences can come from both sides, there's no doubt about it, because this agency has a very, very sacred mission. And just think about 20 or 30 or 40 years down the road, are we going to have the fish and wildlife resource that we need, that we ought to have? And it's a sacred trust. And so we've identified clearly a problem. and it's too important to let it get mixed up in interest group politics. So I would urge you to consider that and help us pass a bill that we can all work with that will benefit both the commercial and the fishing industry and the resource and the habitat.
Okay. Senator Cairns.
Summarize your position then. Seven members, four equals a majority.
Well, I think that's, you know, a fair thing, and you may want to make it a larger group than that to consider the diversity of the fishing public, commercial and sport. I think the balance, as it looks okay to me right now, this supermajority minority veto thing, I think is going to be very destructive. I heartily agree with Senator Bobish on that.
Advisory or co-equal power to the commission in the decision making.
I think
process.
In the ultimate analysis, it probably should be advisory to the commission,
as opposed to having the veto over the commission of the fund.
Well, I'll let you work that out. I haven't spent as much time with that,
okay.
But I think it's really important that that it's a good process to create the advisory committee. And if it develops the credibility that it ought to have through diversity of its membership and through the work it spends on the process, and by creating a working group process and by creating some communication, then I think it ought to have the credibility that the commission will accept. I think we have a good Fish and Wildlife Commission. You know, I think it could be better, but I think it's made up of good, hardworking people. And I think in the final analysis, you know, that we ought not to second-guess the commission too much.
Okay.
Thank you.
Further questions? If not, thanks, Representative.
Ben.
Anyone else? Representative Hanlon, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Tom Hanlon, State Representative, District 2. Astoria is the main population center of District 2, State Representative. I represent sport and commercial interests, and listening to everything and knowing what the amendments say, I support the -7 amendments, which I understand are Senator Bradbury's amendments. I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
Tom?
Sir, Bobby.
Tell me, do you think your folks would be supportive of participating on a board that they contributed 80% of the money to? Or 75% of the money to, but yet could be blocked by a minority of members from an opposing group? Do you think your members would want to participate in something like that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bobish.
Now, let me ask it two questions. First question is, would your members want, if they contributed 75% of the dollars, would your members want to have an even or a majority membership on that kind of a board where they put in most of the money? First question. Second question, if they did put in all the money and if they didn't have a clear majority of membership, what do you think about a simple majority or a supermajority to get anything done?
Let me take those questions on. I have this theory. The commercial people in the area I represent get angry at me, and some of the sports do too. But I consider the resources everyone's, and I think the Bradbury amendments speak to a win-win situation with 5 of 7 agreeing on a project.
You didn't answer my question.
Well, Senator Senator Bobish, if I might, I'm trying to answer it in my own way. I don't pretend to sit here and tell you that I represent every commercial person's view in the district that I represent. I do not. Mr. Lounsbury was up here earlier. He lives in the district I represent. He obviously doesn't agree with what I had to say today. I don't blame him. I think the issue he's facing is one that's difficult for all of us, and that's the protection north of Cape Falcon for fishing salmon in the ocean has a lot to do with what the tribal fishing rights are on the Queets River in the state of Washington. We've been dealing with that problem for years. I agree with Chet. That's a big problem. We got to look at the big picture. Senator Faubush, I think my answer is correct. I think this is a potential for a win-win when these people come back and say, yeah, there aren't any sides anymore. The sports and commercials agree there should be fish for everybody.
Okay, further questions? Thank you, Representative. Representative Dwyer, welcome.
I wasn't planning to talk, but I thought I might as well throw my two cents in.
Oh, why not?
Always a pleasure to address you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Dwyer. I'm the representative from Springfield. Let me tell you, I've looked at these, in all due respect to the vice chair, I don't like his amendments.
Take that.
I think they're divisive. I think they give a very unfair advantage to a particular user group. I think they don't display any competence at all in the department's ability to manage the resource base. And for that reason, I don't support them. I think that the problems with the amendments are pretty self-explanatory. I don't have to go and give you an education as to the fatal flaws in those amendments.
Okay. Any questions? Thank you, Representative. Okay.
I assume that later in private he'll tell us what he really thinks.
don't beat around the bush, Representative Lewis. Okay, I think we've heard from everyone who's indicated a desire to speak. Senator Bradbury.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would propose that it seems to me that there are several issues that have been raised. One is the issue of whether we attach a fee to aquaculture. Another is what the majority of the board is. Another is who appoints the board. I guess I would like to move through those three issues, and I'm sure there are others the committee would want to raise. And then it seems to me those are amendments to the amendments. So what might make sense is to move through the those issues. Certainly, that's my proposal anyway. It's
up to the committee, obviously. Okay, would you like to deal with the aquaculture issue first in the form of a motion?
Well, I think Senator Brenneman would like to make a motion on that.
Okay. Senator Brenneman?
I'll move -4 amendments and in discussion, Mr. Chairman.
Which amendments?
-4.
Okay, let's make sure we all got a copy of those before us.
We have heard...
Could you read that, or just tell us the substance of that?
Pardon me?
The purpose of those amendments again?
Well, it removes private aquaculture from the surcharge only. It leaves them a nickel a pound, as is currently the situation. We've heard testimony before this committee and earlier testimony hearings that by a number of people that perhaps they shouldn't be in there, from critics as well as friends. I don't think they belong in this bill. This bill is for enhancement of sport and commercial fisheries. It has nothing to do with private aquaculture, and I would urge that we take them out of this.
Question. Okay. Senator Brenneman has moved the -4 amendments. Senator Faubush.
When we talked about this last time, I was the one that raised the issue of equity because we are dealing with a special fund here. And as much as I tend to disagree with the ORAQA concept, I think we also have to look at a situation of fairness here. But there's one question that I do have and that's been bothering me for some years since our first introduction to the issue of commercial fish farming. And I'm wondering if we have a solution to it, and I think it deals with the enhancement issue. Because I agree that if there's no benefit out of it, then what are we going to get in return? And I guess what I'd like, Mr. Chairman, if we could, I'd like to know from the department if, in dealing with the issues raised by ORAQA, the large amount of fish, imported fish, whatever you want to call them, that go into the system. Do we know, and do we have the ability to research what the actual impact of that type of large input, and if they're talking success, they're talking enormous increase in numbers. Do we know what that impact is going to be on the sports fishery, as if they are indeed successful? I guess the point I'm trying to get at is, it seems to me there may well be a reason, in light with this current enhancement, to understand what's going to happen when you start putting that kind of volume of fish into the ocean from that location, and how that's going to affect things. And I'm just wondering if we have the ability to understand that in line with the enhancement that we're trying to get to.
Mr. Fisher, if you could respond, please.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fawbush, to make sure that I understand the question, is the question related to the effects on the fish themselves or in terms of possible enhancement to catch?
Do you understand what's happening out in the ocean when ORAQUA is releasing? What are they releasing now? How many fish are they releasing now? And what's their plans? What's the future plans?
Senator Fawbush, I would like to defer to Ernie Lewis, who is here, in terms of their future plans, if I may.
Mr. Lewis?
Yeah, don't go away.
I won't.
Just be sure to identify yourself for the record, please.
I'm Ernie Lewis, Ernest Lewis, president of Oregon Aqua Foods. And in recent years, ORAQUA has released approximately 4 million coho and between 1 and 4 million chinook each year. We intend, with the new program, we will be releasing about 8 million coho and approximately 5 million chinook. We hope to use fish which contribute to Oregon's fishery. In the past, some of the stocks that were used contributed more to British Columbia and Alaska.
Okay. Do we, thank you, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Do we know what kind of impact is that's going to be easily more than a doubling? It's a doubling of the coho, and depending on what the chinook rates are, it could be anywhere from 50% more to 150% more. So what kind of impact is that going to register on the rest of the fishery off the coast? Are we going to crowd things out? Do we know? And I guess what I'm trying to get at is, do we need to know? And do we need to allocate some resources to understand that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Fawbush, the concern that the agency has had, and we've been working with ORAQUA in the past, and that is basically with the problem that could exist without system straying, and it would not be in the ocean, but it would be in if the fish were to stray into other areas. And we've been working with them to control that. Anadromous has had a good history of not allowing stray, and we will continue to work and monitor that situation with them. But they and us understand that concern. It's basically a concern in the river system and not in the ocean.
So there's no, you don't see any need to deal with ORAQUA and how they fit into the ocean picture, and you have adequate resources to address that issue without this increase in the fee?
We are working with them. They pay for the monitoring currently, and we are working on that monitoring program with them right now, in fact. And
Ernie Lewis, the department determines from time to time that they need a study of such things as you're concerned with, Senator Fawbush, and when they do, they assess us the cost of the study. And so far, we've paid for that cost, would continue to pay for that cost. It has been a fairly expensive item. With regard to the ocean study, the best study that I am aware of was OCZMA's recent study where they used the services of Jeff Tobolsky, whose letter I believe I gave to you, indicating that we should have a contribution, positive economic impact as a result of these releases. We should have a positive economic impact in the neighborhood of $15, $16 million a year as a result of these releases.
One last.
Senator Favish.
I guess I'm looking for some logic to leave that beyond, to see if there's any way that the enhancement and what you're doing will contribute to that enhancement. And Randy, I haven't heard it yet.
Senator Favish, if you're one of the possibilities, what are the concerns we have in terms of the coastal fishery as far as the constraints, and while coho is a concern to the agency, if we are to build up the wild coho population on the coast, in essence it may in some way allow more fishing on all the stocks. What I'm getting around to is I think that that could be a benefit to private operators there if straying is a concern. If we build up more of the wild stocks, straying is not as big a problem as it is in the past. That's kind of a far-fetched way of looking at it, but that is a possibility. It could be a benefit to them if we were to specifically use some of the money.
You're doing okay.
Well, if I might.
Go ahead.
Senator Favish, the impacts to the wild fish have always been a concern to the department, and they have requested of Oregon Aqua Foods that they put into practice certain culture procedures. Those are precisely the procedures that we are putting into practice with this new ownership and with the new capital funding that we're doing. These are the things which are expected to result in extremely low stray rates. As, for example, in 1986, Anadromous, my former company, had 25,000 returned tagged fish, of which I believe something like 5 or 6 tagged fish were found out of the system. Extremely low stray rates.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? Senator Cairns.
Just the money matter. How much are we leaving on the table if we adopt the Dash 4 amendment in the next biennium? Estimated.
$50,000 a year.
$50,000 a year, I recall. Right. So this is a $100,000 question.
Correct.
Okay. Further questions? Not. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we ready for the vote? Dash 4 amendments. Okay. Is the clerk ready? Let the clerk call the roll.
Bradbury.
No.
Brenneman.
Aye.
Bunn.
Aye.
Favish.
Aye.
Karen.
No.
Kintai.
Aye.
Springer.
No.
I'll switch to no for now. I'd like to see the whole package.
Favish switches to no. Motion fails.
Mr. Chair, the other two issues that I think that I have identified that need to be addressed, one is the majority provided in the board. Currently, the amendments that are proposed require a affirmative vote of 5 members. I think we do need to have a vote on whether it stays at 5 or whether it moves to a normal majority of 4.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cairns.
Question to Senator Bradbury. The one member of the board shall be appointed to represent the public and may be a representative of interest groups concerned with fish resources, fish habitat, or fish conservation. Habitat and conservation, we understand, fish resources. What we're saying is that that the governor could make that person a public member, but would they have association with either of the other two groups?
A lot of people are sport fishermen, okay?
Right.
So intent was to not have that public member be a representative of the commercial interests that are laid out. The three members of the board represent commercial troll and kill net and processing. The intent was to not have that member be a commercial representative. Rather, was to have someone who perhaps fits the bill more of someone from Oregon Trout, as an example.
Who could be, in fact, a member of the first class.
First class.
That is to say, three members appointed represent ocean, inland, recreational fish.
And hopefully what we would see is someone whose most essential concern was with the resource and the habitat for the resource, rather than someone who specifically was there either representing a sports